Okay, thank you. So what I would like to present today is some, say, first part of some work in progress. So there should be some second part for this. But almost ready, I believe, but okay, let me restrict to the first part. So as kind of introduction to this talk, I would like to come back to some previous results in this subject. So consider the complex projective plane and fix some degree. So then, can look at rational curves in this CP2, which realize this given degree. So there are quite a lot of rational curves. They are parametrized by some moduli space of dimension 3d minus 1. And if you fix 3d minus 1 point, so say some configuration of points of 3d minus 1 point in this complex projective plane, and you ask to your rational curve to interpolate these points, then you get some finite number. So you have only finitely many, say, immersed spheres, complex. So you have finitely many complex immersion of CP1 into CP2, which interpolate these points and considered only modulo reparametrization. So it's rather easy to see in this case. So this finite number of rational curves, let me denote this number by nd, finite number of rational curves of degree d, interpolating this configuration of points. So it's rather easy to see that it does not depend actually of the configuration of points, and then it becomes some problem in enumerative geometry to compute this number. So as is well known, this number, this problem, say, has been solved by Kontsevich. So he gave some nice recurrence formula to compute this number. And let me say also that, say, one of the first, say, modern reasons for the importance of this number is that it's actually only depends on the, say, underlying symplectic form on the complex projective plane, say, Fubini's 2D symplectic form, and it is some invariant, rather some invariant under deformation of the symplectic form manifold. So, say, CP2 equipped with this Fubini's 2D form, so then it's attached to this symplectic form manifold. It's invariant under deformation of the symplectic form manifold, as was discovered by Gromov and Witten. Okay. So now, remember that this CP2 is defined over the reals. So this provides this complex conjugation on CP2. So there is this complex conjugation which conjugates each coordinate on CP2. And this is some anti-holomorphic involution on this CP2. So then you can ask the same, set up the same problem over the real. So you can say fix some configuration of real points. So the fixed point set of this complex conjugation is the real projective plane, RP2. And you can say fix a generic configuration of real points. So take now this configuration of points, say real. This RP2, or at least some configuration of points which is globally invariant under the complex conjugation. So So then still it's true that there are finitely many rational curves passing through this, and you can restrict your attention to those rational curves which are real, so say defined by real polynomial equation, or parameterized by homogeneous polynomials which are have real coefficients. So such immersion actually in the case of CP2 is just given by three homogeneous polynomials of degree D. So these are homogeneous polynomials of degree D over CP1, and you can just require that the coefficients are real. More generally, so this is a special case, but more generally, I want the set of points. To be globally invariant by the complex conjugation. So these are either real points or complex conjugated points. It's more easy to write. So then, as soon as you have some rational, complex rational curve passing through this point, you can have the complex conjugation act on it, and then you have its image on the complex conjugation, which is also a complex rational curve which interpolates the points. And some of these rational curves are fixed. Those are the real curves. So there are finitely many real curves passing through these points. So you can ask this, you can try to compute this number, I don't know. But what is clear is that you should not expect that this number is independent of the configuration of points. Over the real, so definitely, you should expect that it depends on the configuration of points, because these problems of real enumerative geometry can be, say, defined by real equations on a real algebraic manifold. And already for polynomial in one variable, real polynomial in one variable, it's well known that the number of real roots depends on the choice of the polynomial. So R is not an algebraic closed field. So then in this problem, so if you move off your configuration of points, so then you should expect that some rational curves disappear. So they become double and complex conjugated. So what I want to explain is that, however, it is possible to extract from this problem of real enumerative geometry some integer valued invariant. So there is hidden in this problem of real enumerative geometry some integer valued invariant, which is also invariant attached to the real symplectic four manifold. So the strategy to define this integer valued invariant is not to count this number of real rational curves as in the complex case, but rather to count them with respect to some sign. So you have to assign to each such real rational curve some sign, plus one or minus one, and then I will count them with respect to this sign. Then I define some integer, and it turns out that this integer does not depend on the choice of configuration of points. So let me explain what is this sign. So what is the trace of such a real rational curve on the RP2? So you have your real points. And if you look at the trace of the real rational curve, then, of course, there is some immersed circle. Well, I say, of course, it's not that clear, but okay, there is this immersed circle, which is just the image of RP1. So you have this RP1 in the CP1, you have this immersion, so it sends RP1 into RP2. So there is this immersed circle. And in addition to this, there are some finite number of isolated points, which come from the complex domain of the rational curve. So, so the complex part of the rational curve can cross transversely this Lagrangian surface, RP2. So it can cross transversely And this creates some double points of the real double points of the rational curves, which are the locally the intersection of two complex conjugated branches of the curve. So there are this finite number of points. And so I define the mass of the curve to be this number of isolated double points. So for such a curve C, I define the mass of the curve C to be the number of such isolated real double points. Okay. And actually the sign which I attach to this curve is essentially the parity of this number. So what I can do now is say, define this. Okay, let me define this integer which I denoted like this, kdr, which is the sum over those, say, real rational curves which interpolate of degree d, which interpolate this configuration of point x, and each of it I count with a sign plus 1 or minus 1, depending on whether this number of isolated real double points is even or odd. So here, so let me explain what this. So this d is just the degree, so it's d times cp1. So the homology class is d times cp1. So I'm considering rational curves in this homology class. So it's written here. So here, I denote by rational d this finite set of real rational curves passing through this configuration of points. So I have finitely many of them. This is the set. For each such curve, I count it with this number, respect to this number, which is plus 1 or minus 1. So what is r? So it's precisely related to your question. R is the number of real points in this setting, say. R is the cardinality of the intersection of x with RP2. So here, in this case, if you take all the points real, so then R, you can remove it, is just 3D minus 1. But since I said more generally, I can restrict myself to configuration of points where which is globally invariant under the complex conjugation, then this number of real points can take any value which is congruent modulo 2 to 3D minus 1. And the other points are just complex conjugated. Okay. And so the first result I obtained in this subject was the following, that this integer does not depend on this configuration of point x. So it only depends on this R. So this provides some invariance is attached to the CP2. So what is this invariant? Say it is some function P which takes such a homology class and say gives you the generating function for this invariant. So this is some polynomial function. So R, say, varies from 0 to 3D minus 1, but actually that's the same parity of 3D minus 1, so it provides such a polynomial with integer coefficient. So also, this invariant is, as I already mentioned, is rather attached to the real symplectic four-manifold, that is the triple, say, CP2, which is standard symplectic form and with this complex conjugation, which is an involution which is anti-symplectic homomorphic for the symplectic form. So what does this mean? This means I could have taken, say, any almost complex structure J which is tamed by omega, so tamed by the symplectic form, and for which this involution is J anti-holomorphic. So this set, I denote by Rj omega this set of almost complex structure obtained by this symplectic form and with this condition. And then I could have taken, say, any generic such almost complex structure and play the same game. Instead of counting complex rational surface curves interpolating the point, I would have counted a real rational J holomorphic curve which interpolates the point. Then I can define the same sum, and I would have had some parameter, but and then I would have stated that it does not depend none of the neither on the configuration of point nor on this choice. Also, a corollary of this is that it's true that the number of real rational curves in this enumerative problem depends on the choice of the configuration of points, but unlike the case of, say, polynomial in one variable, where really the roots can take any value, here the number of solutions is bounded from below by the integer value of this invariant. So this invariant, which is attached to the real symplectic four manifold, is bound from below the cardinality of this set of rational curves independently on this choice. And this is bounded from above by this Gromov-Witten invariant. Okay. So also here I present this in the case of CP2, but actually all this works over any real symplectic four manifold. So I could have started my talk by taking some triple like this, some real symplectic four manifold, that is smooth four manifold equipped with symplectic form and involution which is on X which is anti-symplectomorphic. And then same story holds. Okay, so then after this result, say, so there are several questions which arise from this result. And I would like to mention three of them, only three of them, yes. So what kind of question arise? So first question is, it might be interesting to figure out which kind of problems of real enumerative geometry hide such integer-valued invariant. So what kind of problems of real enumerative geometry, of which kind of such problems you can extract integer-valued invariant. So, of course, not all of them. I mean, this is related to this question. So, to take any symplectic four manifold, then what you do, you build. Well, generic, the generic, you can put it in the choice of the almost complex structure. So then you have some moduli space, which is of dimension. Okay, I should say. It's not complex, it's no more complex, so it's of, say, real dimension, 3D minus, 6D minus 2, and then the same holds, of course. Yeah. Yeah, actually, the in the symplectic setting, varying the points is, say, irrelevant, because you can do this by symplectomorphic. So everything is contained in the almost complex structure. Okay, so now, so the first problem is this is rather large problem. So what are choose some problems of real enumerative geometry and decide whether there is some integer valued invariant inside it or not. Okay. So second question. So. So there are many problems in the. No, I mean, so there are many technical difficulties in the subject of Gromov-Witten invariant, but there is one exception is for rational curves in symplectic four manifold.
Okay.
So in this case, you are kind of away from this kind of configuration. Because mod two invariant, you have. I mean, of course, everything we I said integer because here it's an integer, and I mean non-mod two invariants. I mean, because if you take any problems of real enumerative geometry, so you have an obvious invariant which is the number of complex solution modulo two. So okay, so this is here you are in mind also the same kind of trouble, so where you have some rational modulo something. So I don't know. So you are free to choose any of the problems and say to try to find some say non-trivial invariants, whether it is rational. It's to ask something precise. So then it's precise questions. So. But of course, I mean any non-trivial, so you can take. I don't know. Don't take. Value in Hopf algebra. I don't know. You can. So second question is related to this, say, computation of this. Right. So does there exist some, say, nice recurrence formula for this invariant, which I just written, similar to the one obtained by Kontsevich? So this is a question. And such formula, say, would involve some relation between this count of rational curves and, say, some count over reducible curves, reducible rational curves, because those have lower degree. And then you obtain some relation between this sequence of number. You have this number for the degree d, and then some relation with over numbers with lower degree. This provides some recurrence formula. So this is second question. And third, actually, no more question. So the question would have been, does there exist, so it's just a remark, so does there exist similar results or phenomenon in higher dimension? So actually, yes, there are such phenomenon in higher dimension, so I already obtained similar results in any dimension. But, okay, it's not the subject of today. Okay. So now let me come to this subject. So so what I want to do now is to remove one point in this configuration. So now choose 3d minus 2 points. So say let me call it y so that there is no confusion with the x of before. So why some configuration of 3d minus 2 points? So once more, I only need that globally it's invariant under the complex conjugation. So here, this is particular case. I only need that this configuration is made either of real points or of complex conjugated points. Okay. So then, if you look at the space of real rational curves which interpolate these points, so then it becomes a one-parameter family. Since one condition is missing, so now it's one-parameter family. So a generic curve in this family is just some immersed rational curves which pass through this point. But in this one-parameter family, there are finitely many curves which are no more immersed, which are cuspidal. So these curves have some one real ordinary cusp. So they are, let me denote this space, this finite set by cusp D. So it's finite set of cuspidal rational curves, real rational curves, passing through this configuration of points. Okay. So if for a generic choice of the configuration of points, actually these curves will be so irreducible curves with a unique cusp, which will be a real ordinary cusp, and the other singularities will be only transversal double points. So also, say, in this one-parameter family, or rather, say, compactification of this one-parameter family, there will be finitely many reducible curves which pass through this configuration of points. So let me denote this finite set by red D, this finite set of reducible real rational curves, so passing through okay, so there is a third ingredient which I need. So in this configuration of points, there are some points which are real. So might be all of them. So I have taken all of them real. So then I have 3D minus two special points which are real. So then for each of these real points, I can fix some line in the tangent space. Some real line. So I can choose some real line Ti in this tangent space of RP2, tangent plane. So all of these points, I choose a line. Okay. And then, in this one parameter family, if you look at this one parameter family of curves, so all of them pass through this point. And if you look at the tangency of the curve, so it varies in this one-parameter family. And the upshot is that there are also only finitely many curves which pass through these points and have one of these lines as a tangency. So at one of these real points, the curve not only passes through the point, but it passes with this tangency. So let me denote by like this tangent D, this finite set of real rational curves which pass through Y and are tangent to one of these lines, yeah. So then, for generic choices, this line will be unique. because it costs one condition, one degree of liberty to be tangent to such a line, so this line is unique. Okay? So then, also let me mention that here, if these choices are generic, so there are finitely many such real rational curves, and all of them are immersed with transversal double points as singularities here. And here, for reducible curves, there are generically only two irreducible components, and only transversal double points as singularities. So this is the generic situation. So all of these curves have a well-defined mass, as before, so I can just count the isolated real double points. So this I can... So all of them have some mass. And also, for reducible curves, they come with some real multiplicity. So let me define the multiplicity of this curve to be the number of the number of intersection, real intersection points between the two irreducible components. So such a curve C, as I said, is the union of two irreducible components. So I have one comment to do here. I restrict my attention to those reducible curves for which both of the irreducible components are real. So this is in fact automatic as soon as there is at least one real point in the configuration. So if there is at least one real point in this configuration, then all of these curves have two irreducible components, both of them real. But there is one exception, is when there are known no real points. If there is no real point, so if all of these points are complex conjugated, then there might be such reducible curves with complex conjugated irreducible components, which I do not consider. In this case also, of course, this set is empty, because there are no real points, so no tangent lines. So. Okay. So I assume that there are two real irreducible components, and then this multiplicity is the cardinality of the intersection between these two irreducible components. So these are curves which intersect like this. So if you take all the intersection points of two, of course, it's just a homological number. It's the product of the degree of the curve. But here, my multiplicity is something which I do not control. So it's just the number of intersection points. Okay, and then I can define this number gamma dr, which is a sum. So every cuspidal curve and this curve with this tangency condition, I count with respect to the sign plus one or minus one, depending on whether this number of isolated points is even or odd. And then I remove some count on the number of reducible curves of degree D. And each of them I count first with respect to this sign, and second with respect to this real multiplicity. So then I have the same theorem that this number gamma r dr, yes, here it was supposed to depend on the choice of the configuration of points, but actually it does not. Okay. So this is today's theorem. So, okay, once more, it provides such, say, invariants attached to the symplectic four-manifold, which takes some homology class and provides some polynomial function with integer coefficients. So once more, I could have, this is valid in the symplectic setting, so take any real symplectic four-manifold and take such a tame, almost complex structure, a generic choice of such a tame, almost complex structure, for which this involution is J-anti-holomorphic. And then you can play the same game, so count rational J-holomorphic curves with these conditions, either to be cuspidal or to be reducible, or this tangency condition. You can define the same integer, and the result is that it neither depends on the choice of the configuration of point nor on the choice of the almost complex structure. Yeah, sure. So, you know, this is some space of infinite dimension, so you have many degrees of liberty. Yeah, sure. Okay. So it provides some lower bounds also for this problem. But let me mention also, so it should be some corollary of my second part this work in progress. So let me, let me at least mention this as a belief. So I strongly believe that the following should hold. So in the case of CP2, so now it's important that it is only CP2. So, if the integer r is between 1 and 3d minus 2, then I strongly believe that actually these two invariants are the same. So, p dr plus 1 equals gamma dr. So, this I believe, but I have no direct proof, so it involves some other type of consideration. So this equality does, as you see, provide some would provide some relation between the count of real rational curves and some count over reducible curves. Good question. I don't know if such a formula is valid over the complex. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I said. I don't know if No. What do you mean compute? No. For d equal to 3. Ah, for the complex one, how about you can, no, I did not compute. So, yeah, this has been checked already. By, not by me, but you can guess. I announced this, but and it has been checked. Yeah, but I actually, so it's almost done, so I think it's really it's fine. This might be also from this second part, unfortunately. No, second work in progress, which is actually independent of this. Yeah, so of course, that's how I interpret, say, this relation given by this. I mean, I don't know. So let me comment this. So here you have some count of a rational curve, right? Here you have something which involves the count of a reducible curve. So imagine once again that the multiplicity would not be just real intersection points, but all of them, say this D1, D2. So then already this term would be invariant, would not depend, because it would split, it would exactly split over curves of lower degree with my count with respect to this sign. So this would be, say, perfect. but unfortunately, I have to count them with respect to this real multiplicity, which is not under control, and which is not invariant, of course. And to compensate, as a compensation of this, there are these other terms, which is a compensation to the fact that I'm taking only real intersection points and not all of them. So I do not understand how this compensation is done. So I'm still so it's really just a way to interpret this formula. Column of Ittenberg, just. No. You know they have the way to look at degree 3 with the Delpezzo surface, right? The curve of this rational curve is of degree 12. They look at the dual curve, take double cover, things like this, and then you can see all the terms, and then you can check. Okay. In degree 2, it works. Yeah. Okay. So let me come to the proof of the theorem. Okay. So how to prove this theorem? So let me. So consider this symplectic setting. So then you are given this real symplectic four manifold. So then, as you see, there is some parameter space in this problem, which is this Rj omega, this space of almost complex structures, which are compatible with the symplectic form, I mean, which are tamed by the symplectic form, and compatible with this involution, I mean, for which this involution is J-anti-holomorphic, and times, let me put also this configuration of points, so to make it a little bit more easy, at least to write, the proof is kind of the same, but I have this configuration of points, which lives in this Lagrangian surface. So R if is the fixed point set of the real part of this real symmetric four manifold. So it's the fixed point set of this involution. Yeah. The proof I can present in the general case. So X is CP2, Y is, okay. And CX is complex conjugation in case of CP2. Thank you. It's first chain class of the symplectic four manifold against the homology class. So D is no more a degree, it's a homology class, two-dimensional homology class. And this number is actually first chain class of the symplectic four manifold evaluated against this homology class and removed. Okay. So you have this parameter space, and over this parameter space you have this universal moduli space of rational geohomomorphic curves which pass through this point. So let me denote this space by RMD. So in fact there are three moduli spaces, but the most hard one to consider is, say, Cospidal. So I have this moduli space of cuspidal geomorphic curve, which pass. So this roughly is the universal space of triple, the rational curve, the almost complex structure, and the configuration of points y, with the condition that the rational curve is J holomorphic and that it passes through this configuration of points. So this is some universal moduli space, and I have some Fredholm projection onto this parameter space. So you have to take everything say of suitable regularity so that these spaces are Banach manifolds. And then this projection, which I just denoted, is Fredholm of index 0. So P is Fredholm of Fredholm index 0. Which precisely means that over a generic parameter, I have only finitely many solutions. So J holomorphic curves. No, general, I don't think. So the question is, no, okay, no, no, what's the question? Okay, I mean, in general, if you consider such moduli space over the reals, so I mean, if you fix the J and you consider a moduli space over the reals, so you should not expect that it is orientable in general. So I don't know, already real lines in RP2 is parametrized by RP2, which is not orientable. But in this case, I restricted myself to, so I decreased the dimension until zero. So here my moduli space, if I fix some parameter, it's just a finite number of points, so it is orientable, and moreover, this sign gives some orientation. Okay. So now if you take two generic parameters, J0, Y0, and J1, Y1, then this integer is well defined. And what you have to prove is that actually they are the same. So and to do this, I join them by some generic path. So this manifold is contractible, and this is connected, so I can do this. So I join them by some generic path, and what happens is that I could not avoid to cross some walls. Over which the invariant is not well defined. So outside of these walls, the integer is well defined and, say, obviously constant. So actually, I have only finitely many accidents to consider. I have this wall to cross, and I have to check that what I define is invariant. And this is the reason for the signs and things like this. Is that actually I do understand what happens, what are these walls, and what happens while crossing these walls. And then I decide to put some definitions of sign in order that when I cross the walls, what I define is invariant. So over such a generic path, this since this projection is of index 0, this universal moduli space. So let me denote this path by gamma. This universal moduli space becomes some one-dimensional manifold Rm gamma with some projection p gamma, say, onto the interval 0, 1. So this path gamma, which I identify this path with 0, 1, and over this, my manifold is one-dimensional. one-dimensional. And these walls, which I have depicted, come from two defects of this projection. So first defect is that this projection P gamma has critical points. And second defect is that it is not proper. So I can say, draw this one-dimensional manifold like this, something like this. So this is one-dimensional manifold. This the projection is vertical onto the interval 0, 1. So as you see on this picture, there are some critical points, which I can prove they are, all of them are non-degenerated critical points. So what happens at such a critical point? Non-degenerated critical point is given by z, which is z squared. So over the real, you precisely see that while crossing such a critical point, the number of real solution varies. So you have two real rational curves which become, say, one double and then disappear. So this is precisely because of these critical points that the number of real solution of this problem is not invariant. This number of real rational curves passing through points is not invariant because they are critical points, so two of them can come and disappear. So one has to see what happens at these critical points. And also it's not proper because it can split. So such a curve, so there is this Gromov compactness theorem which says that in this moduli space, if you look at some irreducible curve which is cuspidal, over one parameter family, it can break in two pieces, say. So one has to check what happens here when it breaks. So what happens? So critical points are of three different kinds for this moduli space. So there are three kinds of critical points. So what can happen is that, so of course, by definition, my curve is always cuspidal, so it always has one real ordinary cuspidal point. But what can happen is that there is a second one which is appearing. And this provides some critical points. And here, what happens is that, say, for this second critical point, so I know that the number of real solution will vary. So say locally I will lose two real curves. But these real curves, before arriving to the critical point, they were immersed outside this cuspidal point. And so for those real rational curves nearby this critical one, this cuspidal, this additional cuspidal point is kind of smoothed. Okay. So there are two ways to perturb the real ordinary cusp over the real. You can even either produce some loop like this, and the singularity, this cuspidal point, become some non-isolated real double points. Or you can create some isolated real double points. So you already see this picture with cubics. Okay. So there are two ways to perturb this cuspidal point, and actually both of them appear in this picture. So when you perturb this critical point, so the two real curves you had, one has a non-isolated real double point near the cuspidal point, and the other one has an isolated. And that's why the integer is invariant for this accident, because the mass for this curve will be one more than the mass of this one. because all other double points are under control. So just the same as the cuspidal curve. So the mass differ by one. So one is counted by plus one, the other one is counted by minus one. Okay. So another kind of critical point which may occur is that this this real ordinary cusp, which is say given by parametrized by say T2 or T3, it can degenerate into some degenerated order 2 cuspidal curve points. So it can degenerate to something like, which is parametrized by something like say T2, T5. So then what happens there is that there is say two double points which are hidden in the cuspidal point. So you have some degenerated cuspidal points, and before this you had something like this for one curve or something like this for the other curve. So actually it's the same picture. This cuspidal point is degenerated, so there are an additional double point which is hidden here, but there are two ways to perturb this, and one way which creates a non-isolated double point, and the other one which creates an isolated double point. So once more, for these two curves, they are counted with plus one and minus one. And the third kind of critical point is when this real ordinary cusp comes to some of the marked points in the configuration. So generically, this cuspidal point is outside my 3D minus 2 points. But over a one parameter family, it can happen that it comes into this family. And then there are two ways to perturb this. I mean, the two curves before disappearance are like this. So the mark point is either in one of the half branches of the real ordinary cusp or in the second one. So these are the two pictures which degenerate into this one, and then the curve disappears. So here you see that the necessity to add some extra terms, because in this case the two curves have the same mass, so the same number of isolated points. So if you just count them with respect to this sign, you obtain something which is not invariant. But this is compensated by this term with tangent condition. Okay. So. So we have still some time. So let me briefly describe what happens for the second trouble about properness. So what happens is that this one parameter family of cuspidal curve can degenerate, leave this moduli space and split in two pieces, two irreducible components. So then mainly two cases can occur. So one possibility is that the reducible curve which I obtain in the limit has a cuspidal point which will be somewhere. So I will have two irreducible components, and one of which will be cuspidal. Okay, this is one possibility. And the other possibility is that in the limit, I have two irreducible components which are tangent to each other at some point, so which create some tack node here, non-degenerated tack node. So this can occur as well. So my one parameter family of cuspidal curve may degenerate in such a reducible curve. And of course, then the cuspidal points tends to this TAC knob. So these are actually these two cases split in two subcases, depending on how the configuration of points goes in these two pieces. So the configuration of points splits. Half of them go in one, the other half goes in the other one, and you have to look at the number of points. So there are subcases. But okay. So the most interesting case is this one. So here, what happened before? So here I may also lose two curves, even if I don't see this. It can be as if it were a critical point. So it can be like this. So I have two curves which degenerate into the same curve and nothing which reappear. And these two curves you can see like this. So if you look a little bit before, you can perturb these two irreducible components to obtain this picture. And then you see two cuspidal curves, one with this cusp which is like this, and the other one with the cusp which is like this. So you can perturb this picture. So okay, let me describe it like this. If you have this picture, you can perturb one of the double points to obtain something like this. Something like this, say. And then you have a one parameter family of immersed curves which can degenerate into some cuspidal one. You have one parameter family of curves, you have a loop. In this one parameter family, the size of the loop decreases, and at some moment, it becomes a cuspidal point. So this creates one cuspidal curve. If you do the same with the other one, you see another cuspidal point, which interpolate the configuration of points. So here you have two cuspidal curves, which degenerate onto this picture, and then after nothing. So once more, here you see that if you just look at cuspidal curves, then you have something which is not invariant. And you see the need to add some extra term. And here this phenomenon is compensated by the term with over reducible curves. Because at the same time, you are counting reducible curves. And for this particular reducible curve, the real multiplicity is decreasing by 2. So I have a reducible curve with 2 which intersect at 2 points, and after this I have a reducible curve which which has no real intersection point between the two irreducible components. So you see that there is some multiplicity decreasing which compensates this phenomenon. And for this phenomenon, say nothing happens. So I have a cuspidal curve which splits and which reappears like this. I have two smoothies. Okay, let me stop. That's right. So I.
It's kind of sort of amazing.
But
coincidence, right? That all people
yeah.
Like this.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's compensation. But so I mean that those reducible curves are limit of cuspidal curve. I mean I can prove exactly like this. So they correspond to some wall. And on one side of the wall, I have this picture. So with two irreducible components. I mean, for one subcases, it's like this. So as I said, there are two subcases. So in the subcases where both can be deformed, on one side there is this, on the other side there is this, and I can prove, I know that from my previous work actually, I already know that I can smooth this and obtain this one parameter family, so I can prove that in the limit I have produced two Cuspidian curves. So which proves actually prove that this is actually the limit of curves. So there is, in the other subcases, nothing happens. There is one curve which degenerates and then reappear like this. Okay. This, how can I prove what? The? Yeah, I can prove this. Yeah, it's not. So, in the general symplectic setting, so it's not that. Yeah. Let's see. Say less. So this the structure of moduli space nearby these reducible curves is not very well known. So there are many technical difficulties here. So I'm quite lucky to be able to prove it. But actually, I can prove this with rather simple consideration. Also, a strategy also which I using sometimes. So I have to cross this wall. But if I can tweet, say every critical point, so then I know that if I do not cross this wall of reducible curves, say my integer is invariant. This is already checked by before consideration. So then I can choose the places where I'm crossing the wall somehow. And then one thing you can do is to, say, deform this almost complex structure so that it is integrable near this reducible curve. So you can choose a one-parameter family of almost complex structure such which deform a given one into one which is integrable near this reducible curve. And then, as I said, so you can decide to cross at such a point. So for such a reducible curve, for some such a couple or triple of rational curves with almost complex structures such that it is integrable. And then you can take advantage of this integrability. But I'm using this trick actually only for one case. So this one, which surprisingly, I do not need this trick actually. Okay.
You were mentioning about the second part of the book.
No, what do you mean? So I have second part of my work in progress, which is not ready yet. But you, I don't know, you. Yeah, so this I can discuss if you want. In the dimension 3 case, I can explain what's happening. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. Tomorrow. When? Same time. Okay. It's just this three-dimensional case. You need to like attend to a couple of talk.
And the thing which looks most strange to me is the why multiplicity appears. So how come that this real multiplicity participates in this invariant?
So there is some simple reason for this. Let me mention the simple reason for this.
Maybe I don't know if you have some simple explanation or just some intuitive thing like.
Yeah, of course. So. So why?
Maybe it makes sense to count the corresponding complex numbers, and if one is equal to the other, over here.
Yeah. Well, okay. There is some very simple explanation. So I'm counting reducible curves.
Yeah. So why each reducible curve comes with this?
But I explained this already. I mean, yeah. So here, we need some. This is rather a special phenomenon. So it's something as if it were some critical points hidden at infinity. It's rather a special case. So let me describe this once more. So imagine you have this 3D minus 2 points moving. So I can split this 3D minus 2 points by 3D 1 minus 1 plus 3D 2 minus 1. And then look at reducible curve, one which passes of degree D2 here, one of degree D1. So if I just look at this reducible curve and I move the points, so I can see the two irreducible components which move like this. And then like this. So if you look at the real multiplicity is something plus 2, something and okay. So what I mean is that here the number of real intersection points between the two irreducible components decreases by 2, and which is exactly what I need to compensate the fact that here I have 2 cuspidal curves and here I have 0. The cuspidal curve has here you smooth these points and then you create like this. Since you have 3D minus 2 points, you have already many intersection points.
So this number somehow encodes the number of ways to insert the cusp and the pencil, right?
Yeah, like local picture.
Okay, I think I got
the number. Yeah, it's rather local picture. So I know very, very close to this picture. I see two. There are definitely two cuspidal curves, whereas which degenerate over this and which disappear. So definitely the number of cuspidal curves, even counting with respect to this mass, changes by two. So I have something. I need something to compensate, and what compensates are reducible curves if you count them with respect to the multiplicity.
So you compensate sort of for cuspidal curves with the reducible curves. So you have something which is essentially a tangent number.
The tangent was, I did, yeah. Tangent do not occur here. So tangent, nothing appears. I mentioned this third term of tangency for this accident. So here also you have some. This is critical point, but something rather stupid. So let me. I can. Yeah. So there are two curves which you lose, but at the same time, you can look at tangents. There's something which happens with tangency, so which compensate this accident. So these are the main ones which explains the three terms.
might be a problem. I think reducible curves are fine, and tangents are fine, but cusps, I'm not so sure. Cusps are fine. So two out of three terms would be fine.
I see.
Thank you.
Fine. Okay.
Thank you. So this, I don't actually understand this behavior. What's this real isolated, real double point? How does it look like?
You mean, so...
No, not this.
It's not related to this.
When you define this...
Fine, yeah. Just imagine, what is a rational, real rational curve? So you have this plane, this four manifolds P2, and this surface R P2 inside this. And then you have some sphere which is immersed, and which is not in general position with respect to this surface, because these are two objects of dimension 2. You would expect that they are transversal to each other. But they are not. There is this RP1. So there is this RP1, okay. But then, this sphere, once you remove this RP1, it becomes two disks.
Okay.
The sphere CP1, and there is the RP1.
Just eliminate.
Yeah. You remove the equator, then you have two disks. Yeah. What are these two disks? How are these two disks embedded in the four manifold? So nearby the RP2, it's easy to control. It's just, since it is complex, it's directed by, so take this tangent vector in RP2 and multiply by complex multiplication, by the square minus square root of
where it is, where
yeah.
It goes, where
yeah. Yeah, I mean, this vector is just yeah. I times this one.
Yeah.
And since the embedding is C linear, the image of this one is mapped to the image of this one by multiplication
yeah.
by I. So you see that you go from the you go away from RP2.
Yeah.
So if now I'm so this move this say loop into some loop which is which does not intersect RP2. I multiply by I obtain some loop away from RP2.
So you move. What is
yeah.
what you default?
Yeah, or if
you... Okay, you leave this up.
Yeah.
Leave.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of looking at the equator, I'm looking at some, parallel like this.
Yeah.
And the image is some loop, which is away from...
Above.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah, it's multiplied.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now this thing, which is away from RP2, is bounded by some disk. And now this disk, which is also some surface, something of dimension 2 with boundary,
mm-hmm.
is transversal to RP2. And there is no reason that this disk is, even though the boundary is disjoint from RP2,
mm-hmm.
the whole disk do not have to be disjoint from RP2.
Why it's not, everything is not in this. Oh, some point in here,
yeah,
in this
mapped to RP2. There is no reason to believe that this disk, the whole disk, is mapped away from RP2.
Okay.
And what I claim, which is very easy to prove, because these tangent planes are... what I claim is that the image is not disjoint, but it is transversal to RP2. So it intersects its RP2 in some finite number of points, since it is transversal.
Okay.
And this is only one disk. This is one disk which intersects this transversally this.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since, moreover, it's not only C-linear, the embedding, it's also invariant under the complex conjugation.
Uh-huh.
So if I know that this point is mapped to RP2,
uh-huh.
then the conjugated point is also mapped to RP2.
Right.
And locally, the small disk is mapped to its image under the complex conjugation. So this point is also mapped to RP2. But locally, I have a disk which is transversal to RP2,
uh-huh.
and this disk which is image.
Otherwise, so there can be several such pairs.
Yeah, exactly.
Each pair, if you look at the image, it's like
yeah.
this thing like this and this like this.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah. They are flipped by the complex conjugation, yeah. Exactly like this. Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's the